this truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Enyard.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and well-known as America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice. I am Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview on the Internet. The Weekly Worldview is on hiatus through the 18th of March as we conclude the curing period to gather signatures for personhood. Let's see, we'll give the number. 1-800-836-9278. Is the number to call if you'd like to participate in the program, but I'm giving the board op the signal now to keep the screening very tight. So if you don't have something truly earth-shattering, you'll never get through, because I've got more news than I can possibly cover in a half-hour broadcast. By the way, Leslie, if you're out there listening, I am at 194 signatures, and I am gaining. Leslie and I are engaged in a heated competition to see who can gather the most signatures during the curing period. And frankly, Leslie's been cleaning my clock. But right after the show today, I have to follow up with my team members. We have to get coordinated for the St. Patrick's Day parade and for the Republican caucuses coming up on Tuesday. But once I get everything coordinated and touch base with all my peeps, then I'm going to go out and break 200 at least today. I'm going to do some stealth operations in parking lots at local grocery stores. That's been really fun. It's really fun hiding from the people gathering the carts, hiding in between the cars. And then if the manager happens to come out to have a cigarette or talk to someone, you have to like find an SUV to hide behind. And it's been fun. I haven't had this much fun since I was on operations back in the service. It's just a good old time. Having a ball out there. All right, I'm at 100. By the way, if you want to help with signatures, you can call and join my team, or you can join Bob's team. You can join Leslie's team and be a part of whooping up on my team. Just go to coloradortl.org or go to Personhood Colorado. You can get all the details on the teams, the team leaders. You can even get our phone numbers. My phone's been ringing off the hook. It's just off the hook. It's great. All right, now let's move on to the news of the day. Speaking of off the hook, the United States Department of Education has issued a requisition form with the intent to purchase 27 Remington brand Model 870 police 12-gauge, 14-inch barrel, parkerized choke, modified sights, ghost ring rear Wilson combat front excess, contoured bead sight, stock, Knox reduced coil adjustable stock forend, speed feed sports solid shotguns. That's the United States Department of Education. And I know the big question on everyone's mind, why would they settle on the Remington 870 police? Well, according to the official requisition form issued by the Department of Education and available at the Drudge Report, these are the only shotguns authorized for education department based on compatibility with the Education Department's existing shotgun inventory, certified armor and combat training protocol, maintenance, and parts. So the Remington 870 controversy is settled. It's pretty simple, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Now let's move on. Tuesday, in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., according to the Associated Press, Tuesday, March 9th was a day of wedding bells for some gay couples in Washington. And ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean happy couples. No, no, no. That means homosexual couples are now being married off right there in the capital of the formerly great nation of the United States of America, right there in the capital. About 150 couples, according to the AP, were eligible to collect their alleged marriage licenses on Tuesday. The district, by the way, has a mandatory 3-business-day waiting period on any marriage license, whether you're a sodomite or a normal person. It's sort of like when you want to buy a gun in D.C. You have to wait. You have a waiting period. I don't even think you can buy a gun in D.C. You can't buy a Remington Model 870 shotgun in Washington, D.C. Unless you are a part of the federal government, the education department. But you can get a same-sex couple marriage license now in D.C., but you have to wait 3 days. So you have to wait 3 days before you do something completely insane, like marry someone of the same sex. They're in D.C. By the way, just in case that's discouraging to you, as a Christian out there driving your car, you're wondering what's happening to my nation. The homosexuals and those that are in rebellion against God, their creator, are now pridefully marching down the streets, even getting married in public, having wedding photos taken. They're at registries over at Macy's for their homosexual weddings, and you're wondering, what's happening to my country? Well, don't be too disturbed, because Connecticut, Iowa, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Vermont also marry off homosexuals. So you should have been depressed like 2 or 3 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe. Anyway, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, that's New England. We know New England's a leftist bastion. They're on their way to hell in a handbasket. What happened in Iowa? How did Iowa get in there? What's going on in Iowa, for crying out loud? That's disturbing. Let's see, anything else interesting? The district court there in Washington, D.C., their official marriage booklet has been updated, so the ceremony will end by pronouncing the couple legally married as opposed to husband and wife. It's nice to see that they're so civic-minded and they do everything in a very orderly fashion as they drive the nation off the cliff right to the edge of the rim of hell. Thank you very much, Washington, D.C. and Iowa. I mean, New England, we pretty much gave up on years ago. But Iowa? That's just sad. All right. Now let's come over into the culture file. Here in the formerly great state of Colorado, a straight state, a state that is square. How did the old saying go? If you're gay, stay away from Colorado. If you're queer, don't come near to Colorado. Anyway, something like that, right? One of those great old songs. Let's see. What's happening here in Colorado? Well, over in Georgetown, a mountain town there, a gentleman there, he says that marijuana is a sacrament in his religion. And he said that after he was busted with some dope and some paraphernalia there in his car. Well, he has been convicted despite the fact that he posited the idea that it was all part of a worship service that was taking place there in his car, apparently. A Clear Creek County judge found Trevor Douglas of Avon, Colorado, guilty on Tuesday of possession of marijuana, drug paraphernalia, and, just for good measure, driving an unregistered vehicle. This pothead says he will appeal. He says he's standing up for his First Amendment right to religious freedom. He argued in the court case, unsuccessfully I might add, that he shouldn't be convicted on drug charges because marijuana serves the same role in his religion as communion wine serves in Christianity. He is a member of, well, I've had communion wine, and I've even been in churches where they had real wine. Now, that's hard to find anymore, and I think it's mostly just the cost of the wine. Grape juice is just cheaper, I think. But anyway, I remember having wine at communion, and it's a tiny little thimble full of wine, and you drink it, and you can drive home, no cotton mouth, no red eyes, none of that. Now, this fellow, I wonder if he's just smoking a thimbleful of marijuana during his religious service. But I think even if you smoke just a thimbleful of marijuana, that you get pretty wasted and you forget where you left your car. And, you know, the cotton mouth, the red eyes, and the obvious intoxication follows. Now, where was I on this story? I seem to have lost my place. Ah, he lost his case. He says he will appeal. He's standing up for, he's a member, by the way, of the Hawaii-based THC ministry. THC ministry. That's tetrahydrocannabinol, the active, psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, for all of you who are educating the public schools. Well, wait a minute. I'm sure they're quite familiar with THC. Anyway, the judge didn't believe that this fellow's his beliefs, he said, the judge says they don't rise to the level of a religion. And so he was ordered to pay $450 in fines to the court and to serve 15 hours of community service. I kind of feel sorry for whoever he ends up, you know, doing the community service for, because he's probably going to be stoned. Although all his pot money had to go to the court, $450. That's a lot of weed. Anyway, so all is not lost. At least we have one judge in Colorado who understands that being a pothead does not rise to the level of a religion. Yet. All right. So there goes Colorado. Now let's move on. There are many concerns out there amongst conservatives and Christians about the state of the federal government's spending habits and the deficits that are being run. Now, I remember graduating from high school in 1986. And one thing I remember about the year 1986 was that Walter Cronkite, or maybe it was Dan Rather by then. Anyway, all the mainstream news outlets on the television, they nightly were screaming at Ronald Reagan because he was the budget deficits that Reagan was running up were simply insustainable. Reagan was going to destroy the country with these deficits. Well, I did a little research, and 1986 was Ronald Reagan's biggest deficit. It was $221 billion, approximately 5% of our gross domestic product at that time. And I, for one, well, I was 18 and I didn't really care about the budget deficit. But I remember adults around me who had skin in the game were very concerned because the deficits were, it was unbelievable that our government in the course of just one year could be in debt, running a deficit of $221 billion. It was terrifying. Well, the Treasury Department yesterday released a report indicating that the February budget deficit, that's the deficit for the month of February, totaled $221 billion last month. So that's a monthly deficit of two, and that matches Reagan's biggest deficit. And that's just for the month of February. So now I'm an adult and I have skin in the game, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If Ronald Reagan was destroying the country, putting our children's future in jeopardy with a $221 billion annual deficit, what does a $221 billion monthly deficit, what does that bode for the future of our nation and my three children whose husbands will have to pay taxes? Yes. Their husbands, because they're going to marry men who are, I have all girls. And while they might work, they might end up paying taxes too. Anyway, $221 billion a month? My goodness. Mr. Obama certainly learned his lessons well from the leftist and the communists that he studied under. Well, and frankly, George W. Bush, who ran up some pretty impressive deficits of his own. By the way, the Obama administration says that the huge deficits are necessary to get the country out of the deepest recession since the 1930s. The White House says that job creation will remain a top priority. You know, I can imagine myself being a businessman thinking about hiring people and wondering about the future of the country, the future stability of the country, as we run up these massive deficits. It's kind of scary. And it makes you want to, run off and do something to try to save the country. And I really believe that the only way we can save the country is through this personhood effort. I think it's a way to return the country to the path upon which it was founded, or at least a lot of its founders intended it for it to be on. And speaking of personhood, let's go to the phones. Lori in Loveland, speak your mind.
Hey, Doug, how are you? This is Lori from Loveland.
Hey, Lori, it's great to have you on the broadcast. What's happening out there?
Well, I just wanted to let the listeners know that if they have not yet signed a petition up here in the northern area, my co-contributor here up here, Dennis, and I are going to be at a congressional debate at Mountain View High School in Loveland, and we will have a table set up in the lobby area along with all the candidates, and we will have petitions there for people to sign.
Wow. So a congressional debate at Mountain View High School. What town is that in?
In Loveland.
In Loveland.
And it's just off of Highway 34, and it's the intersection of Boyd Lake Drive and Highway 34. The school address is 3500 Mountain Lion Drive.
3500 Mountain Lion Drive. What time does that get started tonight, Lori?
The debate starts at 7, and we will be there starting at 6. So they can even just swing in, sign the petition, and if they have other things tonight, they can take care of other things. But it's supposed to be a really good debate as well. All four of the candidates have signed the personhood petition.
Wow.
And are supporting it. So,
Lori, that's tremendous news.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what the rest of the issues are, what the differences will be in the candidates. But I just want people to know that, hey, if you want to sign a petition, here's an opportunity to do so. Or if they want to pick up a petition, I'll have some extra ones with me as well.
All right, so Lori and Dennis will be at Mountain View High School in Loveland, 3500 Mountain Lion Drive at 6 p.m. Go now, if you live up north, go get signed up, grab a petition, circulate it. Maybe you can get 5 more signatures. Maybe you can get 10 before we run out of time next Wednesday. Lori, thank you for calling in and letting the people know you are a part of saving America.
Well, thank you, Doug, and so are you.
Well, I hope so, because I got kids in the game, Lori.
Hey, don't we all?
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, Lori. Thank you for being out there working for personhood. And enjoy the congressional debate and give them heaven all night long.
Sounds great. You too. Thanks, Doug. You have a great day.
Thanks, Lori. Thanks for the call. So there you have it, folks. Just at the point where you're getting depressed and you're thinking about leaving the country and fleeing and moving to Tonga to escape the crushing deficits and the rampant immorality of our nation, Lori calls in with news that there is a movement afoot to return America to its Christian foundations, to end probably the most diabolical criminal activity in the history of all mankind, a crime that is not matched by all the wars and all of the atrocities combined throughout human history, the crime of legalized abortion. To end the systematic dehumanization and murder of an entire class of our fellow citizens. Do you realize that's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? I don't like to use the term abortion. I don't like to talk about the abortion debate. Because as soon as you say the word abortion, people close their ears and they close their minds. Because they've been conditioned and educated to believe that abortion is good. That it's a liberating experience. That it's even a right. But what it is the systematic dehumanization. And by that, I mean when they use terms like fetus, embryo, fertilized egg, fertilized embryo, whatever that is. You know, there were terms that they used for black people back when they used to hold them as slaves, terms that I can't even use on the air. They used those terms to dehumanize those people. And they use terms now to dehumanize an entire class of our fellow citizens. And while slavery was a diabolical crime, all the slaves were not murdered. You see, in this crime, all of its victims have been murdered. And not only that, the murderers have been taught to be proud of what they've done, that they've done a good thing. That's why I say it's the most diabolical crime in the history of all mankind. But there's a movement afoot to put it to an end, to bring it to an end. And the movement is called personhood, and it's about granting legal personhood to every citizen of our nation, no matter how small, no matter how weak, no matter how defenseless. Even the voiceless in our nation should be protected by love and by law. Let's go to the field and talk to someone on the front lines. Leslie, speak your mind.
Are you with me?
I'm here, Leslie.
Thanks for taking my call. I just thought I'd call in and tell you that I am delivering petitions to churches.
All right.
That have heretofore not been involved, but they're hearing about it, and it's so exciting. So I just dropped a bunch off at New Hope Church down in South Denver, and now I'm headed to Castle Rock to an E-Free church, and they haven't been involved in the past, but they're excited, and they want some petitions. So if people are listening and their church hasn't done it yet, and they want to call us and zip by the Colorado Right to Life office or the Personhood Colorado office, they can pick up a petition and take it to their church this weekend.
Yes, call the Colorado Right to Life office if your church has not yet participated. Leslie, this is exciting news. This is awesome.
It is. And it's fun to be sparring with you on. I am a little bit ahead of you, but it's great you're catching up. But now I'm back in town, so
I know you're cleaning my clock. But I'm a slow starter, Leslie.
Oh, come on! We're all working as hard as we possibly can, and it's thrilling because I just think we're going to get the job done.
We are going to get it done. We're going to swamp them. We're going to swamp them with so many signatures they'll realize they don't even have to count them.
Amen. Well, thanks for all you do, and keep up the good work on the show today, and I'll just keep driving to Castle Rock.
Well, God bless you, Leslie. Thanks for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Leslie Hanks, who is a co-sponsor of this year's Personhood Amendment in Colorado, a woman who has given her heart to the movement that stands the best chance of saving the country. Leslie, God bless you. Thanks for being out there. I tell you what. It's humbling to be associated with such people. So go to coloradortl.com. Or you could call here. Call 800-836-9278. We'll get you on a team. We'll get you petitions. We'll get you somewhere where you can sign petitions. You can be a part of saving the lost and dying community around you. And now, speaking of the lost and the dying, let's return to the news of the day. I've been following this story for a number of days, and it's stories like this that infuriate me, and they remind me of why I joined the Marine Corps, because I had a desire, anyone who would hurt innocent people, I had a desire to go and fight and kill them when I was younger. And when I read stories like the one I'm about to read to you, it just reminds me of why I wanted to do that. San Diego, California, from the Associated Press. The headline is two missing teen cases, two different police responses. And they talk about the disappearances of 14-year-old Amber Dubois and 17-year-old Chelsea King. Chelsea disappeared just February 25th, last month. The case sparked a search involving about 1,500 law enforcement officials. It ended 5 days later, you'll remember, when her body was found. Amber Dubois was walking to school when she vanished about a year ago. The news media showed little interest at that time, and there was no massive search. Well, after the body of Chelsea King was found, the police connected the dots, and they started searching for Amber. And Amber was found dead on March 8th, just a few days ago. After authorities made the connection in the case. What's the connection in the case? The connection is convicted sex offender John Albert Gardner, a registered convicted child molester. He's a 30-year-old piece of filth who spent 5 years in prison for molesting a 13-year-old neighbor back in 2000. And by the way, the AP is taking the authorities to task because there were differing responses. But ladies and gentlemen, our police are overwhelmed with the numbers of murders and abductions. According to the AP, there are on average, more than two non-family abductions a week in America. So our criminal justice system is overwhelmed with the amount of murder and bloodshed and kidnapping and abuse. And I don't understand why we tolerate sex offenders. I mean, I want to start a foundation to advance the cause of executing child molesters. Who could argue with that? I want to have that debate. How come this fellow molested a 13-year-old in 2000 and he's still alive? How does that... Surely that's one point that we could all agree on, is that child molesters should be executed. But no, they want to register them. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger wants to adjust the law to keep sex offenders' parole records indefinitely. You see, he's upset that this fellow's records were apparently destroyed. Well, Arnold, how about destroying the offenders? Schwarzenegger said that the practice of destroying records in the cases of sex offenders is unacceptable. Arnold, keeping sex offenders alive, child molesters alive, is unacceptable. We need the practice. I tell you how you register sex offenders. You can register them either in granite or marble on their headstone. And that way we can keep track of them. This fellow, this criminal, was interviewed by a psychologist after his 2000 molestation. And the psychiatrist said he manifests significantly predatory traits and is a danger to community. To the community, he should be kept in prison for as long as possible. He served just a few years before he brutalized and murdered more young women. So I call for a national registry of sex offenders, and I'd be willing to donate some land for it. All right. Now, quickly, we're almost out of time. Dateline Corunna, Michigan, from the Associated Press. The man who confessed to fatally shooting an abortion protester and a businessman, Mr. Harlan Drake. You remember him. He admits that he killed pro-life activist Jim Poulian and pro-life businessman Mike Foss. He was quoted recently as saying, "I deserve to die for committing those murders." That's what he told the officials in his case. Now, his lawyers disagree. They say he should be found not guilty by reason of insanity. Because to a lawyer, asking for justice to be done, well, that's obviously insane, Your Honor. We can't have that. We've got a trial to run, after all. Anyway, he says, "I deserve to die." He says, I murdered two gentlemen. He murdered a pro-life activist and a pro-life businessman out there. Anyway, we'll keep track of that. I think that this murderer has offered sound advice to the trial judge, and I hope the advice is taken. All right. One more from the justice file. From Columbus, Ohio, officials say an Ohio inmate who intentionally overdosed on pills hours before his scheduled execution has returned to prison and is on a suicide watch. Yeah, murderer Lawrence Reynolds admitted he took the overdose. He's trying to kill himself, but Reynolds failed, and he's now isolated from other inmates. He's under constant observation, and his execution has been rescheduled for next week. Anyway, I mean, six of one, half a dozen of the other. We just need to get rid of the guy. He should have been executed in 1994. That was when he murdered his neighbor. He murdered his neighbor in 1994, and he's still walking the earth mocking justice and taking pills. But all is not lost, ladies and gentlemen. The personhood movement marches on. Bob Enyart Live continues. He will be back tomorrow. So be sure to tune in right here on the Blowtorch, the Christian Blowtorch of the Rocky Mountain West, AM 670 KLTT. And I might be here too, but I might not. Anyway, Maranatha, what a great school. And be sure to go to our website, KGOV.com. God bless you.